This Paul W. Smith podcast is brought to you by Mesa, for good health, good business, and great schools. And by Lear, the world leader in luxury and performance seating.
You know, Merrill, if a note to Merrill Kane, next time you're running late on the lodge, let your two passengers take turns driving. We could have had Sebastian Bourdais, the winner of the race on Saturday, or Will Power, the winner of the race on Sunday, and you guys probably would have been on time, gentlemen. Good morning.
And they are just making their way into the studio here this morning. Situated and getting the headset situation all squared away. But the winners are here and looking wonderfully. Sebastian, you're all set to go. Congratulations on that win Saturday there, buddy.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, there's a man of many words. Sebastian, you just won, for goodness sakes. This is a big deal now, you know.
It was 2 days ago, bro.
Oh, boy. You sound like Roger Penske. Oh, wait a minute. We're looking forward to the next race.
It's 6:42.
Very early for
you.
I'll tell you what.
So mean.
Oh,
it's
come
just,
on.
It's not even funny.
I know. I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, you're not. And,
now,
and
not
I know something that nobody needs to know or wants to know. So.
I know. That's true. And that's because you're from Le Mans. We've talked with you before. Remember, Steve, when we talked to him about it coming from Le Mans, you had to be a race car driver.
I guess, maybe, but
it's
really.
It's predetermined when you're from that area, Sebastian, and you've capitalized on it. Now Will Power is all set with the headset there, and the winner of yesterday, he overcomes a little bit of a penalty in qualifying, but congratulations on win number 26 there, Will.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was definitely an interesting weekend for me, a lot of up and down, but eventually I was able to get to the front, so very, very happy. Been a long time.
Yeah, it's been a tough year for you, but you broke that spell, and that's good right here in Detroit, where you finished in the top five times, including the now two victories. Gentlemen, I do hope, not that you like coming here this early in the morning, but that you like coming to Detroit, although I heard some of the guys saying the course seemed pretty rough, and I saw somebody's hands. I can't remember what race car driver it was, but their hands were like, they looked like they'd been out raking the lawn. They had blisters and stuff on their hands.
It is a demanding track, is it not, fellas?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, it's pretty brutal. I mean, obviously, last year was kind of easy because it was rain on and off, but this year it was two flat-out races in the dry, and the grip was high, and the kicking and everything, the steering was pretty strong, so for sure, some guys suffered pretty good, but
now, when you
that's what we do.
When you compare the Belle Isle track to others on the circuit, you really feel it probably at the end of a race, more so than any other, really?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they've all got their difficulties. I mean, some of these high G tracks we go to now, like Barber and even Indy Road Course, with the amount of downforce, it's just very physically demanding. But here is a kickback and bumps that make it tough. But it's a cool track here in Detroit. I mean, it's very technical. It's a very flowing, fun track.
And the 2016 Chevrolet Detroit Belle Isle Grand Prix in the history books, and in those history books, Sebastian Bourdais from Le Mans, France, driving the number 11 hydroxy-cut Chevrolet for KVSH Racing in the Verizon IndyCar Series, winning the race on Saturday, the Quicken Loans duel in Detroit. And Will Power winning yesterday from Toowoomba, Australia, driving the number 12 Verizon Team Penske Chevrolet for Team Penske in the Verizon IndyCar Series as well. Gentlemen, it may be difficult to speak freely here, but are you happy that there's a duel, like two races?
I mean, it's different, you know. The place is different. It's rough racing. It's concrete racing. I think it's a one of a kind, and I really like it. And you know, I think the format's cool. And if it works for the promoter and for the fans, you know, we have put on good shows 2 days in a row, and I think it really worked out.
Are you looking for this to happen elsewhere on the tour, where they'll come up with a dual race?
No, it depends. It depends on the track. I mean, it's a tough weekend. you know, I used to like all the double headers that we did have, but, you know, as you get older, you start to think, wow, maybe we should just have one.
What's the truth here? Huh? The truth comes out here. Yeah, it's a tough thing. Let's face it. It's a very tough weekend. There's no question. But it's hopefully you find it a great weekend being home, at least for Chevrolet, if not for Honda, for example, but for Chevrolet. It's a very big deal, and the people that build cars for the world love seeing the racing going on Belle Isle, and it just seems to get better every year. And maybe they'll, if they have to tweak the track again a little bit, maybe they'll be able to do that. Where do you guys go from here?
Texas.
yeah, next stop, Texas. But, yeah, I'm driving the coach back to Indy, so that's stop number one. Then going to check on my place in St. Pete, which might flood pretty soon, so that's not good.
Yeah, there's some tough weather there, that's for sure.
Yeah, we're extremely low on the, and like it was already super high tides and stuff, so I'm not quite sure how that's going to work out. But,
well, Texas has had some rain, too. I mean, everywhere you go these days.
Yeah, and France is flooded right now, so.
Paris is in a bad way.
It seems to be the theme. They were talking about having to move the Mona Lisa up a couple of floors. Because of the flooding there at the Louvre. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know if you saw some pictures from Paris, but, you know, they have the express roads on the side of La Seine, and there's, like, basically 18 feet of water there. So, yeah, it's...
No floods in Australia there, Will, just shark attacks. Yeah, business as usual.
Yeah, there's been a couple of big shark attacks. I don't know if a shark attack's ever small, but...
right.
There was some shark attacks.
Yeah, that's sad and unfortunate when we hear about that, and especially out at the Great Reef and how, unfortunately, tourism is extremely important for a lot of places, including there, and people get nervous and... it's very rare, but when it happens, it gets so much attention that it draws a lot of attention to it. And how'd you get started in racing, Will?
I started in go-karts when I was a kid. My dad raced, Formula cars, open-wheel cars, like Indy cars, and as early as I can remember, I loved open-wheel racing. So you know, he put me in go-karts when I was a kid, and kind of just went from there.
Sebastian, you raced a season and a half in Formula One. You competed in the V8 Supercar Series in Australia, the IROC Series. You've done a lot. How did you get started?
Yeah, same thing. I mean, a little different because my dad wanted to race motorcycles, and so I got a motorcycle. I was three, so I basically knew how to ride
a
motorcycle before I knew how to ride a bicycle.
The tender age of three on a bike.
Come on.
No, it's
seriously?
True. Yeah, it's true. And he also, as soon as he bought it, just it was at a ski resort, very, very small in a small part of South Alps, and so he got the thing off the back of the car and put the thing on the road and told me to ride it back to the apartment. So my mom wasn't too impressed with that one.
Oh, your mom was not too impressed. There aren't any moms that would be too impressed with that one.
But then obviously after that I had motorcycles, ATVs and all the things and just loved whatever was motorized and started go-kart. I was 10. So, yeah.
I got to tell you, Will and Sebastian, I mean, what you guys do is amazing and fantastic, but motorcycle racing looks—you look so vulnerable.
Unfortunately, there was a casualty this weekend on MotoGP.
Was
in Moto2. Yeah.
Oh, didn't hear about it. Yeah. Oh boy. Well, they're just out there, and it's just too scary. I'm glad you guys are racing cars, which is scary enough.
Yeah, when we make mistakes, at least for the most part, it's usually just the car that takes the biggest hit. But you know, it's for sure when it's just a leather around you and you take a hit, it's a little bit different.
Let me ask you guys this. Going into the weekend of racing here in Detroit, did you feel anything maybe a bit more special? I don't want to say pressure, because I'm sure you guys feel pressure all the time, but being Roger Penske's backyard and the home of Chevrolet, a little bit more special for you both?
Yeah, for me, being on Roger's team, it definitely... Roger was very keen for one of us to win the race, so I was glad I was the one. Because in the first day, there was a point where we were 1, 2, 3, 4, the yellow fell at the wrong time, and you know, I had a wheel nut come loose, and it kind of fell apart. But it was—I'm sure he was over the moon yesterday.
I have to say, congratulations to Roger Penske, Bud Denker, of course, the general manager, Michael Montry, who kind of quietly in the back runs this thing, too. And, of course, Merrill Kane standing in the back, Merrill, who had done a great job until today getting you here.
Go back to sleep.
But I want to say to you, Sebastian and Will, congratulations for these great victories on a tough course. And frankly, thank you for the early morning duty. I know it's not easy after a weekend that you've had to come into the studio this early and to do this. And we really, really appreciate it, gentlemen, very much. And we wish you Godspeed, good speed, and safe racing from this point on as well.
Well, thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
It is our pleasure. Will Power won Sunday. Sebastian Bourdais started the weekend off with winning on Saturday. And now it's in the history books, the 2016 Chevrolet Detroit Belle Isle Grand Prix.
Paul W. Smith breaks business news weekday mornings. Catch him live weekdays 5:30 to 9 on 760 AM. And streaming on WJR.com.